T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Back to throw, late pressure coming. He steps up against it at the 40 to the 45. Can he break the tackle? Gets down to the 49-yard line of the Baltimore Ravens. Up the middle of the field on the Bears logo. Not enough to get a first down. He gets 6 of the 11, and the Bears bring in Patrick O'Donnell. And the crowd is not happy.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
Justin Fields hurting a little bit. It's hard to tell what's going on. As a matter of fact, just as I say that, the injury tent is popping up.
Justin Fields, we've been watching him during the break. What have you seen, Tony?
I think he might be going into the tent.
Yep, there it is.
Justin Fields to the locker room, guys. He was walking briskly under his own power.
That was planted in my brain still remains within the sound. Silent.
Ravens bring in the house. Pressure comes. Hit as he throws down the field. He's got Goodwin over the shoulder. 10, 5, touchdown Bears. But there's a penalty marker. Now Dub did get hit. If it counts, it's a 49-yard strike for the lead.
Pressure's coming. Quinn was providing it. The pass is caught by Watkins at the 4-yard line. Oh. What a play by Huntley.
Snap, handoff, Freeman into the end zone for the touchdown up the left hash.
And now here we go. Bowser coming after him.
Bowser will end the game. And smartly doesn't try and rip him down or something and give him a penalty in another play. Great job by the Ravens to squeak out a victory. Another tearjerker if you're a Bears fan.
Parkins and Spiegel Show, afternoons 2 to 6 on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Top of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Coach Collins and the Cats host DePaul, Illinois, Indiana, and more at Welch Ryan Arena this winter. Buy tickets now at nusports.com. It's a Horizon Therapeutics Bears Monday.
Here you go, Matt. Here you go, Danny.
Yeah, man.
Here we go, Matt. Here we go, Danny. If I'd said it right to Jim Nance, he would have repeated it correctly, and it could have had a presence in the open forever.
I really thought we had something, too.
So do I.
Yeah, you messed up.
I did.
We know that.
Point the thumb.
But, I mean, I thought we bonded.
Who, us and Nance?
They played the Tanny Open in the production meeting. We couldn't get a shout-out during the game.
Are we sure that they even played the Open?
No, we're not sure that they even played the Open.
I feel like you might have forgotten.
You think so?
Yeah, because if you played the Open.
He was just lip service the whole time?
You know, I mean, it's one thing for Tony Romo to be giving lip service to his college pal, Ryan Pace. But Jim Nance loves us more than anybody who's ever interviewed him.
I think so.
I can tell.
I think that makes sense.
I felt it.
All right, so before we get to Mark Grody's Bears report, we will tell more stories of our glorious day in the parking lot.
He's been the most patient human in the history of humans.
I know. I just want to go around the room.
And you're still going around the room. You're still doing something.
I got bounced into the 5 o'clock hour. That's not the worst thing in the world.
Prime time, baby.
That's right.
That's right.
You can hang all the way to your show at 6 if you want.
It's coming. I got to prepare at some point in time.
Okay.
No, I don't.
That's hilarious.
No, it's only a 40-minute show.
Trust Danny. That's overrated.
You only need 15 minutes to prepare.
Yeah. Amen.
So Jordan Schultz comes on and he tells us that the overwhelming majority of the locker room wants Matt Nagy gone. He hosts a podcast with Allen Robinson. Allen Robinson's agent is Brandon Parker, who's very outspoken. I will take a educated guess that Jordan Schultz is doing the bidding of Allen Robinson's agents. I just find it hard to believe that that's the guy who's going to get the report that the overwhelming majority of the locker room wants him gone. I'm sorry. I have a very hard time believing it.
Who else does Brandon Barker have on the Bears? Do you have other clients? I ask because you don't say multiple and overwhelming and stuff like that with just one agent's word.
Adam Schefter doesn't. But I mean, this guy doesn't. He's not a newsbreaker, right?
He's clearly aiming to be.
Yeah, sure. It makes the most sense. I'm connecting a couple of dots there. I understand that Allen Robinson didn't play. He said it was, that a lot of the locker room wanted Fields to play early in the season, which was interesting there. Grody, we'll hear your sound, but what'd you think?
Yeah, I still, like, when you guys asked him about the reasons for it, and it was just kind of like he was saying it sort of parenthetically. Well, there's, some half of the locker room seemed to want Justin Fields and, just a lot of the things that went on. To me, it just didn't sound that convincing. It also doesn't really square up with what we hear from players at Hallis Hall, studying the interactions that Matt Nagy has with players. And maybe it did happen this year where the locker room has been a bad year for the Bears. People could call last year a bad year too, even though they did make the playoffs somehow and lose the Saints. So it surprises me if this is true. And it didn't feel convincing when asked why did the players turn on Matt Nagy. All of a sudden, the overwhelming amount of players in that locker room have turned on Matt Nagy. That's hard for me to believe.
It's not hard at all for me to believe, frankly. And here's why. I've been big on psychologically profiling him as I listen and to him and kind of pick him apart. It's been very obvious that he has been a mess, that he has been a very broken guy at these press conferences. And I think he has at times coached like a broken guy. And I think he very conceivably comes across that way to the players. His confidence is rattled, man.
Yeah,
he knows his offense doesn't work. And he's had to give it up again after taking it back again.
He spends most of his press conferences protecting his players, though. That's one of the, and I get it, though, if these players.
But in the end, they want a guy who can actually design something that works.
Which is heartening. You know what I mean? If it's true, I like it because I want the players to want to be good and not just collecting a paycheck and being like, let's just get through the season and who cares.
So what did you hear today? What did you hear after the game? What do you hear that matters?
All right, yeah, let's get to it here. And we got to hear from some of the defensive players today. And the guy I want to start with is Jalen Johnson. And I wanted to know from him if it got loud in the locker room at all after that loss yesterday.
Did anybody address the locker room after the game? Any individuals kind of stand up and talk in the locker room?
Nah, I mean, honestly, how many games have we lost in a row?
Five.
Yeah, there's nothing to talk about. What are we? I mean, you're not going to beat a dead horse. I mean, like I said, we're all men. So, I mean, coming in here and saying we got to figure out a way, I mean, to me is BS. Like, we're not going to keep talking. Like, we got to find ways to win. We got to just get it done. I mean, whatever it is. But there's nothing to keep coming in here and talking about and having all these rah-rah speeches. Like, we've had 5 weeks of rah-rah speeches. So, I mean, I don't think that talking is anything that we need to be doing.
Come on now.
Yeah, so now that
rah,
maybe
rah, you've heard it. You've heard the rah-rah. You've heard that we love each other, like we're coming together.
Yeah,
we're
yeah.
all getting closer. Then they go out on the field and they suck.
My cut changed meanings on my walk in here, I guess.
Correct.
Or having listened to the interview you guys just did with that one guy you just
I
had
think
so. I mean, they also heard rah-rah speeches from Roquan Smith, though.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
right.
And that's why I was asking the question, because Roquan
gave it to him. That was why you asked the question.
Yeah.
Because players have stood up and spoke.
Right, but he said, we've been getting rah-rah speeches for the last 5 weeks. So if we want to build back into this theory of losing the locker room and not hearing the speeches anymore, yes, we've heard it. You know, it's like fatigue with any coach. After a while, hear the same message over and over, and there's no improvement.
To me, I think it's completely in play that yesterday broke a lot of players' spirits because that was embarrassing, and it broke a lot of media fans or media members, you know, resolve in terms of like, well, there's really no defending him anymore. You know, so of course it could have broken a lot of players' spirits. How did Roquan feel about the whole damn thing?
Yeah, it was funny because he was being asked in relation to Roquan Smith, who had some really strong words about the Bears and how bad it was and used some heavy language as well. And Roquan Smith was pretty disgusted yesterday as well.
Yeah, it definitely was sickening, like Rob said, and it just sucks, you know, not being able to get the win. But, hey, that's the league, so just got to move on. Short week.
Way to describe what happened on that 3rd and 12 busted coverage.
Sucks, you know, and you know it's just about everyone doing their job, and that's all it boils down to. So it sucks. I don't know what else to really say about it.
How do you guys make sure that that correction, whatever that correction may be, definitely sinks in with the people that need to make the correction?
I think the best way to do it, just, you know, show the individuals, you know, show them that, hey, that's not acceptable, and not letting it happen in practice, and, you know, and just going from there.
It's not the usual stuff coming out of Hallis Hall, is it? I mean, it's a little bit more pointed.
No, 5-game losing streaks will do that to you. It's a matter of when, not if, to me at this point. We say we can't get inside the head of the McCaskies. It's obviously true. But a 6-game losing streak, a 5-game losing streak, a 4-game losing streak, 16 points per game of offensive production, and then now just stuff like this, fire Nagy chance at Soldier Field, the chance to actually maximize whatever it is that Justin Fields is going to be. I don't know if it matters that they've never fired a coach in season. I tend to think that it does.
Yeah, like, I
tend to think that he will be here through the entire thing, but I tend to think that they're both gone. I think that they're both going to get fired.
I mean, as I left Hallis Hall today, another reporter asked, okay, do you think if the Bears lose to Detroit, the Bears will do something unprecedented for their organization, as in firing a head coach in season?
Mm-hmm.
I still don't think they will, because if they were going to do that, they would have done that Mark Trestman years ago. You know what I mean?
Like, or Matt Nagy before the bye, you know?
Yes, exactly.
But I guess they had a good showing.
These are not only losses, these are all like very bad losses. There are degrees of losses, believe it or not, because we break them down here, and they have been bad losses.
Can I add a little Jordan Schultz context?
Sure.
November the 9th, Jordan Schultz tweeted, sources, Odell Beckham has prioritized the Packers should he clear waivers, and went pretty hard with that. So we're hearing from a lot of Packers fans who say that guy is, doesn't know stuff, gets things wrong, etc.
Yeah, it's just not ironclad reporting, right? Like Ian Rappaport, not that Schefter doesn't make mistakes, right? He's made mistakes. He's had to walk things back. They just had the incident with the Dalvin Cook story. So it's... But there is a trend and track record of Jay Glazer, Adam Schefter, Ian Rappaport, Mike Silver, people like that, that I'd be very surprised when you say overwhelming majority of the locker room, right? 53 dudes in that locker room.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking, so half is 26, 27 guys, overwhelming majority, you're talking 35, 40 people. If there's 35 or 40 people that all feel that way, man, Brad Biggs would have the story.
Yeah. You're right.
Like, it just, it doesn't. So, or is one person saying something that is being extrapolated there? And who is most likely a loose-lipped person around the Bears that would be unsatisfied that Jordan Schultz could know? Well, it ain't Allen Robinson, because you guys keep giving him the Media Man of the Year award. Like he's the professional in the room. He never says anything disparaging.
Right.
But his agent? Man, I know multiple media members that he has been... I've talked to Brandon Parker. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that guy is not shy on Twitter and in people's DMs about sharing his dissatisfaction with how the Bears have treated his client.
And so, that's why Allen Robinson gets to be the good guy, because he just kind of lets his...
And that's why you have an agent. Yeah. That's what a good agent does. They're a shield. They get to play the bad cop. But so that's what that sounds like to me. That's what it sounds like to me. What else do we need to hear?
All right, Cole Kmet. Let's get on to him. And I think it's interesting with Andy Dalton coming in. He was kind of lamenting the fact that now it's a different quarterback. There's going to be different plays. It's a different style of guy. And I thought he had two different quarterbacks in his rookie year, couple this year. So I wondered how he thought about that.
Well, I think for me, it's kind of something I've been used to now the past year and a half. I've had a lot of rotation with that quarterback, so it's just something that you got to be able to adapt to and take care of. So you just got to know when Andy's in, how he's throwing the ball is different than how Justin throws it and things like that. So there's just things that you got to keep in mind in those situations, and how they get rid of the ball, what they're looking at, and all those types of things. So yeah, you just got to be aware of that and be able to adapt quickly.
How do you describe the difference between, you said it's different how their releases and things like that? Can you?
Well, yeah, everyone's got their own throwing motion. It's different. So you just got to know, I got to go back to how I was with Andy in camp and think about that stuff. And then, just remember how he releases the ball, different arm slots, different sizes, just things like that. So you just got to be ready for that and be ready to adapt quickly.
You'll change your game a little
bit. Oh, yeah, for sure. You definitely just got to be ready and, just be ready to go and adapt. So.
Yeah, we don't think about it often from the target's perspective. Yeah. It's good stuff.
Yeah, and by the way, the Bears did have a walkthrough today, and it's Justin Fields. If it had been a practice, he would not have practiced.
Come on, man.
That's the estimate.
I can't get enough of the estimated injury reports. And Saints released one, too. Alvin Kamara would have been out if we had practice today.
Yeah.
Eddie Jackson would have gone for a few plays and then had to stop because he was winded
If we had had a full padded practice, the following would have stayed out. There would have been a general soreness day.
The reason for that is just quick turnaround. They have to release an injury report 3 days before a game.
Yes.
Is that all it is?
That's all it is. Yep.
Okay, even though they played yesterday.
Yes.
Yeah, it's really dumb.
Yeah, it was a weird day at House Hall today. Usually it's just Matt Nagy and out, so it was players. It's like, as we were saying, it started off as a Monday at House Hall, and it ended at a Wednesday today. So
it's a big day.
And Matt Nagy, last thing that I have here for you guys audio-wise, Matt Nagy was – the only thing that I thought was interesting from him today was explaining the deadly catch, the Sammy Watkins catch to put Baltimore in position to win the game. Whose fault was it? What the hell happened?
They were in a little bunch set, and we just had a communication breakdown with the man coverage that we were in.
Follow him? Was that Kendall?
I think most likely, but again, we have our own little rules, and they have communication tools that they use within the bunch sets. So there's a little bit of details that go into that. So I don't want to. You can't just. It looks like it to all of us. Yeah, it's on Kendall, but they have their own set of rules and of communicating and who has what with the way that they defend a bunch set.
Man, that's Deion Bush, fresh off injured reserve. Mm-hmm. It's Marquis Christian, a four-phase special teamer, who played a little, then got benched, and then has come back and played a little. And Kendall Vildor, who's been bad all year, frankly. And it's the three of them, and whoever it's on, I wish it was Kyle Fuller.
Yeah.
I really do.
Vildor was the guy when I asked, leading up to the game when we thought Lamar Jackson was going to play, thinking, hey, can the Bears do what Miami did and just blitz the hell out of him? I said, no, because I'm not sure I trust Kendall Vildor back there to be the guy on an island covering guys one-on-one. And
We haven't mentioned this. They did blitz like crazy. The Bears blitzed on 28 of the 44 dropbacks for Tyler Huntley. That's the highest percentage of any team all year in the NFL.
It makes sense. I mean, I said before, I said it was a defensive coordinator game when I was on the score pregame.
And still he completed 72% of his passes.
Yeah, he was impressive. Well. He was impressive.
They had two good defensive players, really, right? Robert Quinn and Roquan Smith were incredible.
Awesome.
And then not much else worked.
Just fantastic. Robert
Gibson
Quinn
had the nice play.
Quinn looks like 2018 Mac with the quickness that he has.
I know.
And the kind of low body posture when he goes around the off. It's pretty incredible to watch.
Spiegs made the point last week. It's obviously with what happened with him last year and the contract, he got off on the wrong foot with Bears fans, but he was very open with the other things in his life and the mental health and all.
Sure.
But we have not seen Mac, Roquan, Quinn, Hicks, right? And Goldman.
And Goldman, yeah. So not
Not Roquan. He was not included in the group of four that you mentioned. But the four guys, like, for a front four.
That you're paying a lot of money to.
Hicks, Goldman, Khalil Mack, and Robert Quinn. We've seen him for, what, two games total?
It's unbelievable.
One game.
One full game. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank God for Roquan Smith. I mean, that guy, like, so he's always been a tackling machine, but he's hitting dudes hard now. Like, that was not always, I mean, he's not been a big hitter, but he is, like, there's an anger that Roquan Smith is playing with that I have not seen.
Good.
Yeah.
He's a part of the
core.
Gotta
give you something good.
Fields, you know? Jalen Johnson, Roquan Smith, and hopefully a couple of offensive linemen.
And
maybe Darnell Mooney.
Cole Kmet.
Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully Cole Kmet. You know,
David Montgomery.
You still want to see a lot more from Kmet. But Montgomery's there. He's sort of, like a lot of guys, like, we sort of lost in his role at times. And, you know, really nothing from Khalil Herbert. That was weird.
Didn't see a pregame, Groats, as we were sauntering through the South Lot.
Yes.
Made it from the Waldron deck to the South Lot.
I saw you guys lifting a long board with
Shotski?
Shotski.
I have never heard of
it's
that.
It's a ski with shots on
I'm out of the game, you know?
Cody, you went to ISU and you never did a shot ski?
No.
They didn't have that down there?
I guess not. I guess that I was never offered shot ski.
We took care of the drinking for you. You know what I mean?
You're welcome.
We covered you.
I appreciate it. No, I live vicariously through you guys.
Have a good show at 6 tonight.
Thank you. By the way, Sean Desai speaks tomorrow. That ought to be good.
Oh, yeah. Got to go all the way back to Halas Hall for that?
I'll be going all the way back to Halas Hall for that. Then I will be back in here tomorrow night as well. But I'll be on at 6. I'll be on at 6 tonight.
Yes!
Ahead of Bulls basketball. So you think guys going to be okay without me for a little while?
We can manage.
Okay.
Bears. Somehow.
Bye, guys.
Bears. Alex Caruso, by the way, out tonight against the Pacers. Just announced wrist injury.
Alex Caruso, by the way, is who I want to start at the other cornerback. For the Bears.
Yeah.
He would be terrific.
I want Isaiah Stewart of the Pistons opposite Robert Quinn.
Dude, one game for LeBron James for punching a dude in the face.
Yeah.
Two games for Isaiah Stewart for being angry that he got punched in the face.
Oh, and going insane.
Okay. All right. He did escalate it a few times.
Yeah, not once, not twice, but three times. Isaiah Stewart absolutely deserved his suspension.
Well, LeBron deserved
more than one
game.
He tried to fight the world.
Yeah, he did.
He tried to fight everybody.
Best was him, like, completely getting his assistant coaches to believe that he was done. No, guys, I'm good. I'm all right. No, it's okay. Thank you very much. And then taking off again. Yeah,
that was the case of a guy who was mad and then saw or felt
the blood
and then got really mad.
Yeah.
Like, if there was a universe where all of those 40 people or whatever that were on the court between Isaiah Stewart and LeBron James did not exist, he would not have cared that LeBron was the face of the league and a billionaire.
Oh, no.
Like, that was a...
He wanted... Oh, yes.
He wanted every bit of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have been hilarious.
Nobody makes me bleed my own blood.
Yeah, yeah. Because, all right, so one time, guys are holding him. All right, I'm cool. You let him go. He charges off. And you catch him again. All right. Hey, man. You cool. Yeah. I'm good. Hey, no, really, man. You lied to me last time. I'm like, hey, don't make me look like a fool again. Are you good? So, yeah, I'm good. All right, let him go. And then he runs away. And then you catch him a third time.
Yeah. But when they're on the way off the floor.
How do you get talked out of it again? He already lied to you twice.
Because you're walking him off the floor, and you're thinking he's just going to go to the locker room now. And instead,
and he
runs through the hallway and tries to come back in a different door.
I respected that part. He said, you won't let me take the short way. I'm taking the long way. He ran on the bowels of the stadium to do the lap to try to come out the other side and fight
That's
LeBron.
A punk punch from LeBron.
Yeah, it's not good.
You know?
It's not good.
Because he punched him and then he pretended he didn't punch him. Like, oh, I'm sorry. Did I punch you? I forget if I punched you.
My bad on that intentional punch.
Yes.
That I punched you with.
Bunch of garbage.
It was. But man, Isaiah Stewart, he'd be a good pass rusher.
I would assume so.
Right?
Yeah.
It took a lot of people to slow that man down.
All right. So now we're getting somewhere. Alex Caruso at corner.
Yeah.
Isaiah Stewart, defensive end.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
And you guys don't want me to be the GM of the Bears?
No, we really don't.
I'm telling you, you should.
No. Favorite part about the LeBron thing is he goes up to Isaiah Stewart, like gets in his face a little bit. Calm down, dude. Calm down, dude. Then when he gets mad, like LeBron's inciting it, then he backs away. Backs up like a baby back bitch.
Oh.
Letting his team take it for him. Like, hey, on the face.
There's no
this.
Question LeBron, like, for as much as Isaiah Stewart wanted to fight,
yeah, LeBron,
that's 10 out of 10.
Deeply disinterested.
0 out of 10. He is the opposite.
And then how about Russ letting one of the trainers hold him back by, like, a pinky, but putting his fists up like he's ready to hit somebody?
That's a classic move.
Hold me back. Hold me back, man. Hold me back.
Hold me back.
That's every NBA fight except, like, 4 in the history of the sport. But Isaiah Stewart was trying to make it the 5th. Like, he very much wanted that to be a real fight. Very, very badly. Stories from the South Lot?
I think so.
To put people's smile on people's faces and realize that there can be joy from a Bears game?
We have a texter who correctly spotted me at 11:25. I'll tell you where I was.
Yeah. You were in your element around 11:25. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
100% in. Wow. I don't care about the football game at all. As a matter of fact, I would rather not watch the football game. I am very into it for your tailgates, though.
Yeah.
I'm a good guest. I'll bring beer. I might bring some food. Pitch us your tailgates, and I'll let these guys go into the football game, and Tanny and I will just hang with you at your tailgate.
Oh, man.
Yeah. It was a weird one.
First of all, that's not what happened,
it's not
Shane.
Even close to what happened.
No, it's not.
Second of all, this is the official soundtrack of all Bears tailgates, as far as I'm concerned.
As it should be.
Right?
The song works.
We love Hanson in this house.
Yeah. Hey, man, every time I've ever done a shot ski, every time I've ever done a shot of Fireball with you guys and one other random person who I can't remember off a ski, it's been while Hanson is just blaring at top volume.
Well, that's a special memory. That's the only reason anyone should ever associate anything with that song. I don't even think it was popular for a time. So there it is. But it was, so let's see here. Things that didn't happen that you said were going to happen. Tanny obviously was never going to go to that tailgate.
No, yes. Absolutely not. But yeah. He started his vacation on Friday. We didn't expect him to.
Hey, man. No, but respect to him for just saying, yeah, no, I'm out.
That guy knows what he wants, and he doesn't waver.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
I wonder what that's like.
Don't you envy?
I do. Decisiveness.
But then Shane ended up going to the game.
Yeah. So it's like 10:30 or something. I'm pretty smashed already. At that point, I would have agreed to anything. Pat Manley texts me. He's like, hey, my buddy's got an extra ticket. Do you want to go? And I said, not really. I don't want to go in there. I'd rather just walk to the red line and go home. And then he said, it's second row behind the end zone. I said, yeah, I'd love to go to the football game. It would be a great thing for me. I love football games, especially live.
I've never sat that close in the stands for a football game.
Unbelievable. That was my first Bears game. And it was second row behind the south end zone.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, 29 years I've lived here and never been to a Bears game.
So was there a touchdown or two right in your face?
We had the Goodwin touchdown on 3rd and 1.
Oh,
right there.
That's super exciting.
We had a celebration by the defense after a takeaway that wasn't a takeaway in the end zone. We had that right there. And then that was it.
Mm. Yeah.
That was it. I hated it. when the action is coming toward you...
Yeah.
You can't tell if the team is gaining 1 yard, gaining 10 yards, losing 4 yards, losing 15, gaining 20. There is no possibility for depth perception when the action is coming toward you.
Your seat was too good.
Yeah, you got to watch TV. You got to watch the screen, you know, while you're there.
Saw Tracy Wolfson walk by a couple times. She's a gem. And then that's about it.
Yeah. Well,
really, you really didn't like it. You genuinely did not.
I had a great time with the company. But I hated it.
So in the battle, the much-discussed battle of couch versus stadium, stadium lost for
you. Yeah, stadium lost, and the perspective of my couch and a half bottle of bourbon absolutely won.
I was so disgusted at the fact that I was watching a game with it's Tyler, right?
Not yes. Brett.
Tyler Huntley against
Randy. Huntley.
It's Brett Huntley.
Right.
Tyler Huntley.
David Brinkley.
Got it. Against Andy Dalton, that I was just not willing to deal with the Soldier Field exit fiasco.
Oh, yeah.
That I pulled up on my phone,
uh-huh.
The game, and just left.
You left the game.
With like 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
Uh-huh.
And I put in my AirPods and I watched Nance and Romo do the game. And then I got into my car at the Waldron deck.
Yeah.
And I sat there until the game ended. And then I left.
And then,
so I was already in my car because I'm not going to drive and watch the game, but I literally watched the game on my phone from outside of Soldier Field so that I could be the first one out of the parking lot, and I was home in 30 minutes.
Oh, why didn't you just listen to the sister station call the game on the way out?
It's a fair question.
Wow.
But
we don't really set Danny up for failure like that on this show. We don't make
Danny play defense on this
show. You got to do this job. You got to watch.
No, I get it.
You got to watch the game.
So anyway, you got out quick.
I got out immediately.
So there weren't other people doing that same thing?
No, I mean, a few cars, but I was one of the first cars out of the lot. And it was beautiful. But I hated it so much.
You hated it so much. You just bailed. I had a wonderful time with you guys at the tailgate.
Well, that was the best part.
And then at 11 o'clock, I said goodbye. And I decided to leave the tailgate. And I left the south lot, crossed the street, and found an electric Divvy bike right there. And rode, buzzed home from Soldier Field.
Buzzed speaks. Buzzed.
I sure was.
Buzzed.
I was indeed buzzed.
Buzzed.
Yep.
What's the step up from buzzed?
Texter had texted in earlier and said, did I see Spiegs on 18th Street around 11:25 a.m. yesterday? He was on his Divvy bike just smiling like a madman. Was that you? Yes, Texter.
Yeah.
I don't recall the smiling, but it seems to be in play.
Yeah.
I had a good morning. An enjoyable morning.
The tailgate was so great, and shout out to Joe who wooed us and won. All of his people were fantastic. Huge fan of the show. There were other people in the crew that were fans of the show. His wife rocked a Keep Chicago Out of Your Mouth shirt.
Oh man,
from the Radiothon.
That's pretty cool.
Which was just awesome. But I got to say, I did have, I don't know if either of you were around for this, I had a somewhat uncomfortable moment with Joe's wife and one other member of their tailgate.
No, I missed that.
So Joe said, he told me the story, and when his wife got there, it was the three of us talking, that he was kind of like thanking me for sharing the story that Steph shared during the roast for my birthday, because they were there celebrating their 35th birthday. We're the same age, the 35th birthday roast, of me saying to Steph, hey, the moon's so great. Let's go out, into the golf course and look at the moon. She thinks it's a romantic moment. I thought it was too cold and the moon wasn't that impressive and just walked back inside and didn't even kiss her.
Yeah.
He said that he heard that story and a couple of days later took his wife out into their backyard, looked up at the moon and the stars, didn't fumble it like I did, and consummated a nice romantic moment with his wife that I gave him the idea.
Well done.
I'm like, oh, this is great. Like, a mob member is learning from my failure. As he is wrapping up this story and I'm laughing, guy comes into the conversation. Hey, what are you guys laughing about? I retell the story to now the fourth member of the conversation, and I'm getting stonewalled. I'm getting no reaction on this story. The wife's brother. So I'm telling the story of how Joe seduced his sister using my move to her brother.
Ah, yeah.
Tough audience.
Yeah, that might not
tough audience for that story. I extricated myself from that conversation.
Oh, that makes sense.
But it was a great time.
It was a great time. So we were hanging out with Joe and all his people. Then we found the White Claw people with Ken's crew.
Anthony. Big Cubs radio people, the
Man,
White Claw folks.
Anthony, thank you.
They were amazing.
They were amazing. And Ken's crew gave us hats. I wore that hat on the bike as I was going home.
They kept on bringing me cuts of sausage and marinated pork.
Yeah, they knew you.
On toothpicks.
Yeah, they're Shane, you got to try this. You're the meat guy. Here you go. Got to try
it. They were fun, man.
Those guys were super fun. Then I came back to ours, and this dude named Nick walked over and said, hey, Spiegs, where's Spiegs? And I was talking to him, and he took us to the tailgate next to him. It was like 15 of his dude bros all wearing Bears jerseys and they're shotgunning beers, old school. Man, people were having fun. They were a step above buzzed. They were feeling it.
How about that bucket of just gin and Fresca that the White Claw guy Anthony had?
It was a little frightening.
Just mixing it with the syringe.
They had a gin bucket?
With gin and Fresca and lemons and limes, mixing it with a syringe and taking it out, just giving people shots.
I think one of the drunkest days I had in college was when we did a gin bucket.
Yeah, fun
it's
fact.
It's a stupid idea.
A big syringe, which that is actually a turkey baster.
Sure. It's also the thing that you suck boogers out of a baby's nose.
Well, that's a smaller one.
That's a small,
My mom used one that big, though.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
I remember
wrong.
That. Yeah.
Man, Owen's got a bit of a cold right now. I should use that.
Yeah,
one.
What was you that big syringe with
use the
bubble?
Same one. Use the same one that Steph is going to use on Thursday for basting the turkey.
Turkey baster. Okay, I didn't know.
Yeah. So
how about when the kid came up to us and said that he was a huge fan and he listens to us in his art history class?
Oh, yeah.
Spiegs was so pumped.
I was psyched.
Sports radio and art history. These are my worlds colliding.
Let's go, man. I love the post-surrealists. 1890 through like the Blue Rider and the surrealists.
Yeah, I brought the kid to the post-impressionist. Portal party and gave him a swirly.
Post-impressionist. Yeah, Shane made fun of that. Yeah, that's
dork.
That's,
yeah, I extricated myself from that right conversation now.
Cut your ear off, dude.
Then apparently there was a syntax error that Danny made from the box in Twitter form, because Danny's the king of the syntax error.
Evidently.
and I love that you made another one.
I tweeted that I couldn't believe that I was going to an NFL game with Tyler Huntley playing quarterback. I believe is what I said.
Yeah.
But I guess I worded it in a way that suggested that I was playing quarterback but was attending with Tyler Huntley.
Yeah.
And Bernstein
called you out.
Thought
on
it
that.
Should have been a much bigger story.
Okay. that you were playing quarterback.
Because I said, I'm attending an NFL game with Tyler Huntley playing quarterback. So I guess, but I think it works.
No, I'm attending a game playing quarterback. I'm attending a game playing quarterback. With Tyler Huntley is a parenthetical in the middle of that.
So how would I say it correctly?
You would have said, I can't believe I'm attending a football game in which Tyler Huntley is playing quarterback.
Correct.
So Bernstein very much greatly responds, this should be bigger news that Danny's playing quarterback. Why Tyler Huntley's attending the game with him, I've got no idea. Syntax king, Danny Parkins.
He's the king.
That's
he can
king
do
bleep.
It. Multiple, that is king bleep syntax mistakes.
In fairness, I tweeted that. My previous tweet was a video of us taking a shot of Fireball.
True.
So, I mean, I was multiple cocktails in at that
You know
point.
What you were? You were feeling it.
Feeling it.
Or buzzed.
I like it.
Somewhere around
Paulie
there.
Meats did not disappoint. We did have some conversations about meat, although there was no grill there.
Yeah. Mm.
The food was excellent.
It was.
Paulie was disappointed in Joe that he used him as an in with us to say, hey, there's going to be a meat guy there. But don't make them think that I'm bringing a grill, because that's not fair.
Well, we're going to get to do it our way, right?
Maybe.
What?
There's some red tape that I found out today before the show.
Uh-oh.
Shocking.
Yeah, there's some red tape. It wouldn't make it not nearly as fun.
Oh, no.
Oh. Yeah. So, but we can still, can we do what we did?
Yeah, we can do that again, but we can't have the Parkinson Spiegel tailgate with booze present, because somebody might get too drunk at the Parkinson Spiegel tailgate and make a mistake, and then we're held liable.
That's Danny was guessing at that exact fact.
Yep. So we can do what we did, but just like bring more stuff and contribute more.
But for the Cardinals can we host a tailgate?
Just can't have booze
and
sober.
Tell
tailgate.
People it's BYOB.
No, can't even do that.
Can't even do that.
Can't even do that.
What about what I just did? And we just wink on the radio.
Let me talk to the lawyer real quick.
Like, what if I say it's a tailgate without booze, but I'm winking while I do it? They can't hear the wink on the radio.
They can't, but
they could
just
go back.
Yourself.
Yeah, they could go back to this segment and
thanks
play
for that.
It.
Appreciate it.
Good stuff.
Okay.
Let's we have to break, don't we, Studs?
Yeah, we should break, guys.
Well, I can't tailgate sober, guys. That's like, we got to.
We'll just go back with Joe.
Okay. Yeah.
Definitely not Tim Shanley, by the way. Nerd. I ghosted him so hard yesterday. His brother was like texting me like crazy, or one of his buddies. I just put that thing on do not disturb.
It's Timmy from the bus.
Guys, he's in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah. No.
Oh, no.
Respect your Hall of Fame elders.
Absolutely not. Yeah, the guy's a dork.
Yeah, he's too far away. Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
The bottom of the hour was brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Coach Collins and the Cats host DePaul, Illinois, Indiana, and more at Welsh Ryan Arena this winter. Buy tickets at nusports.com.
I remember that. That was your main takeaway from a market show.
Yeah, that's right. I just wanted to restate it before the end of the program. Thanks to Boomer Esiason, Pat Manley, Jordan Schultz, and Mark Grody. They were our guests on this Horizon Therapeutics Bears Monday.
Hey, man, Bulls looked really good last night, closing out the Knicks in the fourth quarter. Another game tonight against the Pacers. No Vucevic, no Caruso, but let's talk some Bulls tomorrow.
Let's talk some Bulls tomorrow. Then it's what, the Rockets on Wednesday? Schedule's breaking a little bit. The Pacers were the last game in that 12-game stretch against playoff-expected teams.
They are 12-5, six of those games without Vuce. It's pretty good.
Yep, tied for the best record in the East at this point with the Nets. So Mark Grody takes you up until Bulls and Pacers.
Maniscalco tomorrow.
Sebastian Maniscalco, one of the great comedians alive and working.
Arlington Heights native.
Yes, scorehead. Legit old school scorehead.
Can't wait. Sebastian Maniscalco on the show tomorrow at 5 o'clock. We appreciate Connor O'Donnell running the Twitch chat and the video stream. Thank you, sir. Shane Reardon, our executive producer. Excellent job as always. Studs, great job in for Tanny. For Matt Spiegel, I am Danny Parkins. We are Parkins and Spiegel. Grody up next. This is The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.